Amen. Well, good morning. Happy summer. Spring was like 2 days long, right? It was there and then it was gone, and now it's 90 and we're roasting. But man, glad that you're here this morning, and excited to continue in our series we're calling Who Is This Jesus? And kind of what we've been doing in this series is we've been kind of cruising through the book of Mark. I wouldn't say we're cruising. We're more walking through the book of Mark, slowly but surely. And man, we have seen just some awesome things of who Jesus is. And we're to the point now, we're through two chapters, that we don't really have time to go back and talk about every single one that we've seen so far, right? And so that's kind of where we are on our journey. But what we have seen over the past 4 or 5 weeks is that tensions are building, right? Tensions are building between Jesus and the Pharisees. There is a lot of conflict that is going on as Jesus is kind of stepping into and pressing into how the Pharisees are ultimately leading the people and what they are teaching them and what they are showing them about the Old Testament law. And so where we are and where we're going to pick up this morning is the last of kind of 5 conflicts or controversies, if you will, that are going on between them. But this is the one that's like the big one, right? Like this is where we are going to see over the next several weeks that like this is where their desire to arrest and kill Jesus begins. Like they've not liked him, right? They've hated him ultimately, but they're now to this place that they're going to do something about it. And so as we're kind of walking through this, just to remind you, here are the things that he's done to kind of poke the bear, if you will, or tick them off, all right? He has healed a paralytic on the Sabbath. He has claimed that he can forgive sin, thus proclaimed that he is God. He has dined and sat with known sinners. He has not fasted when he was supposed to, him and his disciples. And as we saw last week, he claims he is also Lord over the Sabbath. In other words, he makes the rules of the Sabbath day, or he makes the rules of the Old Testament law. And so again, at this point, like, I mean, he has gone against everything that the Pharisees are teaching. And then as he's going against what they're teaching, he also comes in with this supernatural moment after most of these moments and just proves who he is, right? Like he proves his authority and he proves his fullness of being Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And so here we are this morning. Conflict is at its height, okay? It is at the highest point, ultimately, that we are going to see it till the point that he is arrested. So here's my question for you this morning as we begin. Do you or have you ever experienced conflict? No? Oh, some laughs around the room. Yes, right? Yeah, we all experience conflict, and we maybe even experience conflict on the daily. And here's the thing, like a couple places that you might experience conflict: with your neighbors, with other drivers on the road, with people at the grocery store, or people that you maybe work with, or maybe there's an occasional conflict in your home with your spouse or your children, right? But typically conflict is with others. Like that's where we typically encounter conflict. And so this morning, here's what we're going to do. We're going to take this moment of conflict, all right? And in that, what I wanted to kind of see this morning is how can we respond in the moments of conflict? Like Jesus gives us a great picture and template here of how we can do that, okay? And so that's what we're going to see this morning as we start out here in Mark chapter 3 is where we're going to start, okay? Now, last week I had a great question. Somebody asked me after the service, they said, what translation do you use? I want to get one so that I can follow right along, all right? And so for that, I use the Holman Standard or Christian Standard Bible, okay? It's also known as the CSB. If you were to go to Mardell Christian Bookstore or you go online and look for it, that's what we typically tend to use on our Sunday mornings. Doesn't mean your translation is wrong, just that's what we're using, okay? So Mark chapter 3, verse 1, here we go. Now he entered the synagogue again, him being Jesus, and a man was there who had a paralyzed hand. In order to accuse him, they being the Pharisees, were watching him closely to see whether he would heal him on the Sabbath. And he told the man with a paralyzed hand, stand before us. Then he said to him, is it lawful on the Sabbath to do what is good or to do what is evil, to save life or to kill? But they were silent. And after looking around at them with anger and sorrow at the hardness of their hearts, he told them, stretch out your hand. So he stretched it out, and his hand was restored. And immediately the Pharisees went out and started plotting with the Herodians against him how they might destroy him. All right? So last week we talked about this struggle the Pharisees are having. The disciples had gone through a field and they're picking off the grain tops of the grain. And so in that, they take a snack, they take a bite. The Pharisees didn't agree with that. But here's the thing. Once they've done that, they then move into the synagogue. And what we see there is where we've just picked up. And so Jesus steps in there. And as he's stepping in, here stands a man with a withered hand, a paralyzed hand. Now, here's the thing about that paralyzed hand. We may read that and go, well, that's unfortunate. But there's actually more to that for the Pharisees. Because the Pharisees would say that this man's hand is paralyzed because of the sin that is in his life or the sin that was in his parents' life when he was born. You see? And so that's what they're kind of holding against him in this thing that he has going on with his hand. And so from there, he necessarily wouldn't be in the synagogue very often. Or if he was in the synagogue, the Pharisees would more than likely just simply ignore him. Like, oh, he's got something wrong, so he must have some sin that is there and present in his life. And so as Jesus walks in, he takes note of this man. Now, here's the thing about this man, right? This man in this moment is in need of a few things, right? He is in need of love and compassion. And Jesus, with love and compassion, being the one that he is, right? He takes notice of the man. But here's the other thing that I think we see, or that Jesus sees that many don't. And I hope that we can kind of apply to our lives even this morning. Are you ready? He sees him in his suffering and wants to relieve him of that suffering immediately. Like, he doesn't want him to sit in that any longer. It burdens his heart that he has found himself in this place. And the Pharisees are doing nothing about it. They will do nothing about it, right? Like, but Jesus goes, man, I see this, I recognize it, and I want to do something about it immediately. And it doesn't matter to him ultimately what day of the week that is, right? And so he steps into it. And so I hope that we have kind of that same heart. When we see someone struggling in sin, or we see someone who needs prayer over something that's going on, I pray that we don't delay in bringing that to them or sharing that with them, because that's the heart that Jesus has. It's like, no, we got to take care of this now. Like, why would we worry, or why would we wait any longer, right? And so he has this kind of urgency, if you will, as well to that. So all that to say, we're right here in the middle of this conflict, okay? It's definitely present at this point. And so here's the first thing that I want us to see this morning. In the midst of conflict, Jesus comes with compassion for those that need compassion. You see, here's conflict going on. Yes, there's this innocent bystander with a paralyzed hand who is in the midst of the conflict going, I don't know what's going on, but something, right? And so in that, Jesus comes with compassion to those that need compassion. His heart, his love, and his compassion are great for this man. But here's what I love about this whole account right here is this. For Jesus, doing good for the glory of God was not restricted to a certain time, day, or location. Like, that was irrelevant to him. His concern was this man's need. And so he wasn't going to be limited by that. And so in that, we see the beginning of the fact that Jesus is always available. You see, the Pharisees were ultimately closing the door to the kingdom. They were making it harder and harder for someone to enter into the kingdom. But Jesus says, no, 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 I'm going to open that door, and I'm going to make the kingdom more accessible, right? More accessible. And that's really where the Pharisees had their conflict. But again, Jesus is tapping into that. But he starts with the compassion for the one that needs compassion. Now, we also get a picture of the heart of the Pharisees, right? In verse 2, we get to see kind of a clear picture of where they are at this point. Like, they're just kind of done with Jesus. And so in verse 2, it says this, in order to accuse him. You see, that's the filter that the Pharisees are now looking at everything that Jesus does. That's the filter that they're looking through. In order to accuse him, they were watching him closely to see whether he would heal him on the Sabbath. Like, they're waiting for it. They want him to do it, but they don't want him to do it for the right reasons, right? Like, Jesus wants to do it out of his compassion. They want him to do it not for the sake of the paralyzed man, but for the sake of trapping him and catching him in the midst of what he's doing. And so Jesus steps into this, and what he steps into it with is this. He steps into it with courage, okay? He steps into it with courage. Like, we're already in the synagogue on the Sabbath. Like, we've already had our whole grain plucking debacle, right? And so what's one more thing to kind of just stir the pot here? And so in that, he steps into it. And here's the thing. Like, the Pharisees ultimately would argue that you also wouldn't be able to care for a person in this condition on the Sabbath day. And so here Jesus steps in, and what does he have? He has compassion for him on the moment or the day that they would not address this individual. And so here's what happens. From there, he begins to tap into the conflict with courage. Now, I don't know about you, but here we are, right? We're only to chapter 3. And I don't know if you've ever had like a movie or a book that you've been reading and the character that's bad, you feel bad for the character, right? Like, you feel bad for them because they just don't get it, or you're like, man, you're actually good, but you don't want to be good. I feel like that's where the Pharisees are at this point. Like, that's my heart for them, is like, man, I just want you guys to get it, right? But they just simply don't get it. And so from there, Jesus steps into this with, again, courage, great courage, as he confronts them. So here's what happens. We look through the Gospels, and we continue through the Gospels. We're going to see Jesus's true opinion, ultimately, and heart of the Pharisees. And we get to Matthew 23. This is like kind of the end of his life, right? He's about to be arrested, and he lines up the Pharisees, and then he lets them have it. Like, he lays into them, ultimately. Because at this point, like, he's going to die. He knows it, all of those things. And so it's like his final last word to them and to the people. And here's what he says in Matthew 23:3. Therefore, do whatever they tell you and observe it. But don't do what they do. He's talking about, again, the religious leaders, because they don't practice what they teach. They tie up heavy loads that are hard to carry, and they put them on people's shoulders, but they themselves aren't willing to lift a finger to move them. And then you continue down to verse 13, and this is what he says. He says, but woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You lock up the kingdom of heaven from people, for you don't go in, and you don't allow those entering to go in. And then as you continue in chapter 23, he also calls them whitewashed tombs, he calls them snakes, and he calls them vipers. Like, they're buddies at this point, right? But that's where their hearts move to. And here in the very beginning, we get to see this is the moment where that hardening of their hearts happened. But here's the thing. Jesus addresses them with conflict, okay? Or with courage. So here's the thing. When we're in the midst of conflict, Jesus comes with courage. But he also comes with compassion for those that need compassion and courage for those that need to be confronted. So we've been answering the question, who is this Jesus? Well, this morning I want you to see that Jesus is one with courage, all right? He is one with courage. And so here's how his courage kind of plays out in the next few moments. He challenges their legalism, their wrongful interpretation of the law, and the injustice that they're bringing against this man. And so his courage begins to show here in verse 4 when he brings the man and he says to the man, step up in front of us all. Like, come on up here. Let's show him what we're going to show him, right? And so he brings the man to the front. And so he told the man with the paralyzed hand, stand before us. Verse 4, then he said to him, is it lawful on the Sabbath to do what is good or to do what is evil, to save a life or to kill? But they were silent. And after looking around at them with anger and sorrow at the hardness of their hearts, he told the man, stretch out your hand. So he stretched it out, and his hand was restored. Now, why is courage important? Well, courage is important because we need courage to confront, right? We need courage to confront. So in the midst of conflict, we need courage so that we then can confront. And what he's confronting here are the things that go against his teaching ultimately. And so he gives them kind of these polar opposites. In other words, he's clarifying for them how they've made this normal situation really, really complicated. And so he does that in two questions. The first one is this. He asks if mercy takes precedent over the Sabbath law. In other words, here's this man, and here's his condition. What am I to do with that? What should I do with that? Like Pharisees, what should you do with that? And the second, he says, is it lawful to save a life or to kill it? Now, there's a lot in how they answer that, right? Because if they answer that it's to save a life, then they're willing to save a life. But if they answer that they're willing to kill, here's the thing. They are saying that they are willing killers on the Sabbath for the sake of the law. In other words, we would rather uphold the law than save this individual or care for this individual. So again, the obvious answer to that question is this, is that they were to do good, right? And they were to save lives, and they were to care for this man. But they remain silent. Now here's the thing. This is another testimony of how Jesus operates, right? Jesus stands with those that are oppressed, those that are forgotten, and those that are hurting. And so here this man stands in the path of Jesus' life, right? And in his day, and he feels in his love and his compassion that he needs to do something for him. He is in need of healing. And so Jesus is ultimately saying, the only right thing for me to do in this moment is to heal this individual. And ultimately, I don't really care what day it is. Because I'm going to do what is right. And I'm going to do what is good. And all eyes are on him, right? And they're on him not just to see or be amazed at his work, but ultimately to look and watch for him to mess up. But here's the thing. Jesus is confronting them for this man's good. Ultimately, he's confronting them for everyone's good and saying that the Sabbath is more open than they're saying it is. More can be accomplished on the Sabbath than these individuals are saying. And so he turns to them and he says, hey, look, aren't you? Like, aren't you supposed to do what is good and right on the Sabbath? But you haven't even addressed this man. So what is right? What's good? It's to care for him and to heal this man. And so here's the thing in the midst of conflict. Are you ready? Compassion needs to lead. Like, what is right and what is good needs to lead. But again, courage comes in and confronts. And so in his courage, he says, this isn't right. This moment isn't right. You're bringing injustice against this individual. And so in that, he encourages ultimately us to have courage as well. But here's the other thing. If we're not careful, I mentioned this last week. If we're not careful, we can do the same thing that the Pharisees do here. Right? We can look at someone and their life and maybe even their sin or their brokenness, and we can go, you know what? I don't have time for you. I don't have time for you. No, they're in the midst of brokenness. Like, they need healing. They're in the midst of sin. They need healing immediately in that moment. And so be there for them and walk with them in the midst of that. But what we see here is that their judgment buried their compassion. And man, their judgment buried their compassion deep, right? Because Jesus even taps into it and he goes, hey, this is where your heart should be, but it's not. And then they're like, crickets, right? They don't respond, and they don't bring anything back to the conversation. So here's the thing. We've talked about over this the majority of this year, reaching the distressed and the dejected, right? Reaching the distressed and the dejected, those that are like sheep without a shepherd, reaching those individuals, reaching those people. Guess what? If we go out and we reach those individuals, there's going to be conflict. But we should lead with compassion and courage in reaching them. And that's what we're seeing here. Jesus steps into this moment with compassion and courage, okay? So Matthew 12, verse 11, we get to see Matthew's take on this account, like his recording of this account. And right before that, we have the whole Sabbath day grain debacle, right? And then we step into this. And so there's great harmony across that. But also Matthew notes a little bit more detail than Mark, which is common of Matthew's writing. Like, again, an accountant, right? So he's on the details. He's in the details. And so you're going to see that the account is actually a little bit different, but at the same time, Very, very similar. So verse 9, Matthew 12, Matthew says this. Moving on from there, he entered the synagogue. Jesus, again, telling us this might be the same day the Pharisees have done the grain thing. So at this point, they're just brewing, right? Like they're boiling over. They're just mad about everything. Verse 10, there he saw a man who had a paralyzed hand. And in order to accuse him, they ask him, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? You see, so Matthew has this view of the account as though they're asking, hey, when is it lawful to heal? And then this is Jesus' response. But he said to them, what man among you, if he had a sheep that fell into a pit on the Sabbath, wouldn't take hold of it and lift it out? A man is worth far more than a sheep. So is it lawful to do what is good on the Sabbath? Then he told the man, stretch out your hand. So he stretched it out, and it was restored as good as the other. But the Pharisees went out and plotted against him how they might destroy him. So again, Jesus steps in with courage in the midst of this conflict. But he makes the moment relatable to those that he's addressing. You see? Those that he's confronting. And so here's the thing. Like he's saying to them ultimately, you extend mercy and compassion on your animals. Why would you not extend mercy and compassion on this man? Is he not far more valuable than any of the sheep in your field? Well, yeah, absolutely he is. He is far more important. We are far more important. And so again, we see Jesus' compassion for his creation exceeds any day or time. Like his compassion is just coming out over and over. And so here's the second thing about courage. Courage is important because we need courage to be confident. To be confident. And so in that, Jesus is confident, right? Like he confidently and courageously addresses these men. But in the midst of his confidence, there's the stare down, right? There's the crickets. And so he presents this question, but no answer is given. It's almost as though he has silenced the critics once again, right? Like he has put them in their place. Again, like I said, at this point, you just feel sorry for the Pharisees. You're like, oh, if you would just get it, right? But they don't get it. And so in that, here's the questions. Is it lawful on the Sabbath to do what is good or to do what is evil, to save a life or to kill? Or if you take the Matthew account, a man is worth far more than a sheep, so is it lawful to do what is good on the Sabbath? And their response? Silence. Silence. So here's the thing for us. May our compassion and our courage grow in such a way that we do not remain silent when someone asks, who is of the greatest value? Who is of the greatest value? Well, God's created people are of his greatest value and of the greatest value. So we should also have compassion for them. We should care for them in the midst of the things that they're walking through. But again, what were they? They were silent. And after looking around at them with anger and sorrow at the hardness of the hearts, he told the man, stretch out your hand. So he stretched it out and his hand was restored. Now here's the thing. When we first started this morning and all through this, we've talked about Jesus's compassion, right? Look here. Jesus's compassion doesn't go away. In fact, his compassion shows for even the Pharisees. Though they don't get it, he still has compassion for them. And out of that compassion, what comes out of it is this anger and this sorrow and this frustration of where their hearts are. And so his compassion is always so great that his compassion is even in the form of this burden for the Pharisees to not get it. You see that? And what's crazy about that is he's sitting there and he looks every single one of them in the eye. And he goes, you don't have an answer? You don't have an answer to that. And so from there, his sorrow and his anger builds. It's a righteous anger in this moment because these statements, these questions that he's asked are just bouncing off of calloused, hard hearts and minds. You don't have any love for this individual. You don't have any care. You're putting the law above caring for this man. And at this point, all they want to do is stir up conflict. They have no compassion. They have no courage. But as we saw with the paralytic, and as we saw with the fasting, and as we saw on the Sabbath day grain, Jesus puts this idea and this moment into greater context for them to understand. And I love this part. Like, he proves his fullness and authority once again, as we've seen over and over. He told the man, stretch out your hand. So he stretched it out, and his hand was restored. Look here, Jesus doesn't touch him. Jesus doesn't do any work. He doesn't put out any effort. And he heals the man. But here's the thing. There's now nothing that he has done and no law that he has broken that they are trying to accuse him of breaking. He just simply says, stretch out your hand. And so we get to see this moment of a simple command and simple faith, right? Bringing restoration and healing to this man. And so Jesus again shows and says that he will not be limited by their earthly laws and ridiculous rules. And he shows that he has authority in his word and in his deed that is far greater than they can think. He proves again that he is Jesus Christ, Son of God, right? That we saw all the way back in Mark chapter 1. He proves it right here again. Stretch out your hand. And so he stretched it out and he was healed. The final thing is this. Courage is important because we need courage to continue in our calling and what we're called to do. Now at this point, the Pharisees are showing that they have very little courage. In fact, their pride has completely overtaken their courage, right? And they're going to go to great lengths to conspire against Jesus, to put him down and away. Like, they don't have plans to just simply stop him. They want to destroy him, is what it says there in verse 6. Immediately the Pharisees went out and started plotting with the Herodians against him how they might destroy him. Like, in the words of Ron Burgundy, that escalated quickly. Right? Like, they quickly want to put him away. And so here's the thing, like, plotting with the Herodians, who on earth are the Herodians? Well, the Herodians were supporters of King Herod. Like, they wanted King Herod back in leadership, authority, and power over Judea. And so Jesus, they're looking at as not this religious threat, but they're looking at him as a political threat. Someone who might take over. But also, they're opposed to the Pharisees because the Pharisees are looking for somebody from the line of David to be the king, right? But they want Herod in there. And so they're at odds ultimately, but they go and they plot with them and they say, we got to get rid of this guy. And so they have ultimately taken their enemy and said, hey, this guy's a problem. We've got to kill him. We've got to get rid of him. But here's the thing that we're going to see over these next several weeks. From here on out, this is their agenda. This is their plan. Like, this is going to be the shadow that is now over the remainder of Jesus' ministry. That they want to kill him. And they want to destroy him and put him away. But here's the thing. What's now happened is this day, the Sabbath, that was supposed to be good and was supposed to be right and was supposed to be full of life, has now turned into a day of plotting evil to kill Jesus. You see that? The Pharisees are doing that on the evening of the Sabbath. Immediately they went and plotted it. And so now they've moved completely from their right thinking to now destroying Jesus and all that he's done, or putting him away. And so Jesus did what was right. And he did what was right in the middle of conflict. He did what was good. He loved another who was being passed by. And here's the thing. He always chooses this. Why? Because of his compassion for those that he encounters. But even in the compassion for each of us. So at the very beginning, we said we're all typically in conflict. Right? We didn't raise hands, but I think we could have easily, right? And so daily, we encounter it more than likely. So what can we take from this as we move into our week? What can we apply to our week? Well, I'm happy to say there's lots of good things that we can take from this to apply to our week. All right, the first thing is this. When we choose to do good or the things of God, understand that people will more than likely come against you, right? Conflict will arise. Even more so in this day and age, opposition comes to the ways of Jesus. But here's the thing, when a conflict arises, we have a couple different responses that we can see. The first is this: in the midst of conflict, we need to have compassion for those that need compassion. Those that injustice might be coming against, let's join them in compassion. In the midst of conflict, we can also carry not only compassion, but we can carry courage, right? Courage to confront those ideas that go against that of Jesus, courage to be confident in the truth that Jesus gives, and courage to continue in our faith and in our calling. But also on the flip side of that, we can see that the Pharisees are once again an example for us to understand as well. As followers and believers of Jesus, we don't have to be jerks, right? We don't have to be jerks, and that we need to be careful to not build legalistic walls that prevent some from tasting and seeing that the kingdom of God is good. That we need to not be hard-hearted and distasteful to those that are in need of compassion, those that are in need of love, and those that are in need of care. But we recognize who they are, that they are God's created ones, and we need to have eyes to see them and love to pour out on them like Jesus did. So a couple weeks ago, you might remember Jesus said this: I've come not to call the righteous, but sinners. Right? He has come for those that are sinful. And what we're going to see is that he came to conquer all of that, right? To conquer all of our sins, to overcome that, to conquer our sin, to conquer our personal effort, to conquer the wrongful these wrongful attempts at righteousness. He came to cover and conquer all of those things. But why did he do that? Well, we see it right here. He came with compassion and he came with courage. He came with compassion and love for us as sinners, but he also came with courage to take it to the cross. And to take it to the cross for our sins. So who is this Jesus that we saw this morning? He is one with great compassion, and he is one with great courage. And so as we step into this week, let's take that with us, right? Let's take that with us. Compassion for those around us, but also courage to step into those things that he's asking us to do. All right? The band's going to come up. I'm going to pray for us, and we'll continue on in our service. Lord, I just pray that this morning you will give us compassionate hearts. And Lord, even more so to give us compassionate hearts for those that are hard to give compassion to. Lord, I just pray that even in these weeks ahead, Lord, in this summer and in this fall, Lord, that you will deepen the depth of our compassion. For Lord, I would think if we don't deepen the depth of our compassion, then you won't bring us those that are distressed and dejected. For if they were to walk in our doors or to step into this place, that we might have so much judgment, maybe even frustration towards them, Lord. And so I ask again this morning, Lord, will you soften our hearts with compassion? Lord, so that we are willing to care for, we're willing to walk alongside, we're willing to step with those that find themselves in a place of being distressed and dejected. And Lord, I pray that we have a heart to do so immediately. Lord, we have the answers that they're in search of, the answers that they're looking for. And so, Lord, may we be confident and may we have courage to share those things with them. Lord, yes, we point someone in the right direction when they're going the wrong way. But Lord, again, may we lead that redirection with compassion. Lord, may we redirect with great love. Lord, I pray that you protect each of us as individuals and you protect us as a church. from having hardened, calloused hearts. But Lord, that we have open, embracing, and giving hearts. Lord, may we not be like the Pharisees in this moment. But Lord, may our compassion lead the steps and directions that you have for us, even in the midst of conflict. And so Lord, this week, if we're in the midst of a relationship, a friendship, a family matter that just is sitting in conflict, Lord, may we have compassion and may we have courage to step into that. Lord, so that it doesn't hold us down any longer. And Lord, I'm thankful for so much that your son Jesus has done for us. Ultimately, the compassion that he had for us to go to the cross, the courage that he had to step into those very, very hard moments. And Lord, we thank you for the salvation that comes from that. And so Lord, if we haven't stepped into that relationship with you, I pray that today be the day. Today be the day of salvation in our hearts and our lives, to know that you have great compassion and you have great courage for us. And Lord, in these past weeks, as we have seen so many characteristics of you, Lord, may we rest in those that we need to rest in. May we hear and know and see those that we need to know. And Lord, even in those areas that we may doubt, may you grow it in us even this week. Lord, we love you, and we praise you, and we thank you for all that you do for us and so many things that we take for granted. And we pray all these things in your son's awesome and powerful name. Amen. Oh, may we have hearts of compassion this week, in our relationships, in our conflicts, and in those moments. We're going to stand and we're going to continue in a time of worship. So I'd love for you to join us in that as we close out our service, all right?